Well, these last few Christmases, I have been ranting about the fact that Christmas is good news. As I consider our worship service today, I'm convinced that we need to be reminded yet again just how good the news of Christmas is. We all realize that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news of Christmas, and there's no better time of the year to be reminded just what the gospel is and why it is such good news. So here I am again to tell you, Christmas is good news. It surely is an awesome thing that God has done in sending his Son. In the words of the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, he said, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Indeed, it is an indescribable gift from God that he would send his only Son from heaven to live and die for us, that we might have our sins forgiven and be reconciled to God. How could we quantify the blessing that it is that Christ has delivered us from the eternal wrath of God because of our sins? Indeed, he has saved us from sin and from death. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So every year we celebrate. Jesus is the reason for the season, and we are very grateful and happy to celebrate Christmas, aren't we? Together we have the intense focus and singing about Jesus, the joy and the celebration, the feasting and the gift giving. The expressions of love and grace to one another is just beautiful. These things we do to celebrate the good things that God has done for us in sending his Son to be the Christ. And even though those are things we do throughout the whole year long, it's not quite as the wonderful traditions that we have and the flavor and the feel of Christmas time. Well now, even the Scrooge has a change of heart. Surely the unique focus of Advent or Christmas is the incarnation of Jesus, the God-man, who left the glory of heaven to come to the earth and save us from our sins and reconcile us to God. This he did by living the perfect life in our place so that we might have his righteousness, and dying in our place as a substitute and sacrifice to pay the penalty for our sins. Because God is good and his justice perfect, he must punish our sin. And the wages of sin is death. But hallelujah, the baby in the manger is also the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus is the Savior of God's people. And so in annual remembrance of this glorious coming of Jesus, we celebrate the good news of this gospel. And wonderful news it is. Now Matthew came up and he read Luke chapter 2 verses 8 through 14 to give us some context. Look closely if you will with me at verses 10 and 11. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." This is God's word. So then, if we will, verse chapter 2, verse 10, good news of great joy. And then Luke chapter 2, verse 11, born for you a Savior. And again, verse 11b, who is Christ the Lord. Looking with me then at verse 10. Here in the verses at the time of Jesus' birth, some shepherds are visited by an angel with the tremendous announcement of the arrival of God's anointed Christ, who is both Savior and Lord. Here the angel tells them that it is good news of great joy. Yes, indeed, Christmas is good news. It's the kind that brings great joy. In fact, so good is this news that the text reads, verse 13, And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. God is so pleased in his grace and love to rescue men and women who are made in his image. For thousands of years, the world had struggled under sin and death with no apparent hope of relief. And finally, the Savior appeared. He arrived from heaven to deliver us. The hymn writer captures this. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. The thrill of hope, the weary soul rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. God, out of sheer grace, and with humanity in sin and rebellion against him, came to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found, and send his perfect and sinless Son to sacrifice his life for us. This is fabulous news that brings great joy. Joy that is not only reserved for the future when Jesus will come again to rid the whole earth of evil forever, but even now his followers love him and believe in him and rejoice with inexpressible joy, as Peter writes in chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 of 1 Peter. He says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. If you know Jesus, you know this great joy because it is a fruit of his powerful Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that lives in your heart. This is what the angel announced, verse 10. I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. Christmas is good news. How gracious is the great God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, that through faith in Jesus the Savior, he has now saved an innumerable multitude of people from every century in time, from every tribe and language and nation of people, from eternal death, and given them eternal life through Jesus our Lord. This is what we celebrate today. As we've seen in verse 10, it's good news of great joy that shall be for all the people. Yes, indeed, Christ will save any and all who call on him as Savior and Lord. Look with me at verse 11. The text reads, for today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Here it says he is a Savior. This is wonderful news because Jesus has resolved our greatest problems and addressed our deepest need. We had been alienated from God because of our sins, estranged as aliens and enemies of God, violating his holy law and disregarding him altogether. The God who gives us life and breath and everything we have, yes, him, we had ignored him. We had belittled him and rarely even given him thanks. And yet, wonder of divine grace, Jesus has come and paid the penalty in full to reconcile us to God. He has repaired that broken relationship and brought peace between God and men. He has ransomed us from sin and death at the price of his life. He has satisfied the justice of God by bearing our sins in his own body on the cross. By God's free love and grace, We Christian believers have been set free forever from the consequences of sin and eternal death and been reconciled to God. As Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verse 8 through 10, he says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were sinners, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Born for you, a Savior." Yes, indeed, the angel says, born for you, a Savior. This is wonderful news, because this reconciliation to God is so complete that we now have fellowship with God and Jesus, his Son, and have been adopted into God's own family. God has become my own dearest Father of love, and Jesus, my companion through all of life's joys and sorrows. Because we have been justified by faith in the life and death of Jesus, God can now treat us as his own dear children. As John writes, 1 John 3:1, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. And such we are." Now, he only and forever has good plans for those who repent of their sins and trust in Jesus, and has promised to work every single thing in our lives for our ultimate good. Dear soul, have you a broken family? Is your life weighed down with sins and sorrow? Have you suffered great loss in this broken world? And even now, are without hope? Have you cancer, or heartache, or grief and despair? Listen, if you but will turn to Jesus, there is a promise for you. Romans 8:28. "For we know that God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose." If you will but turn from your sins and relying on yourself, and turn from your self-sufficiency and look to Jesus, you will find a great Savior with a mighty hand and a heart of love. Turn to him in your weakness and fear, and he will deliver you from your sins and bring you happily into God's own family. The gospel writer John explains, John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." Even now, the Savior and the Shepherd waits to bind up your wounds and give you your soul rest in his arms, to bless you and give you the hope of eternal life. As Jesus spoke in Matthew 11:28 and following, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Surely, this Prince of Peace, who is himself the very light of the world, both the bread and water of life, is also for us, as the angel proclaimed, born for you, a Savior. Look again with me at verse 11. The text reads, "For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Here it says, "He is Christ the Lord." The mighty Jesus is not just a Savior, but also God's Christ. This, of course, is the Greek Christos, for the Hebrew Messiah promised in the Old Testament. The Messiah was a great king who would come and conquer the enemies of God's people and solve the world's problems and bring in God's kingdom of peace, a kingdom of righteousness with sin and evil vanquished from God's world, a kingdom of prosperity and joy, of abundance and gladness, where God's presence would be with his people from then on and forevermore. You know that phrase in the holy prophets, "And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." God's Christ has indeed come in fulfillment of the good promises of God in his word and given us great hope. He is God's eternal king and champion and has conquered our Goliath sins, an enemy of sin and death. He has delivered us from the slavery of sin under the cruel hand of the enemy of God's people, Satan, and from the eternal suffering that sin brings in hell. For those who have trusted in God's Christ, the Messiah, we have a new exodus, and our champion and King Jesus has made a conquest of the glorious promised land to which he speedily brings us. This great salvation is a life-changing power that fills us with joy and peace, and even now, but it also gives us great hope for the future which God has planned for us. You see, in the first and second coming of Jesus, our salvation has happened already, but not yet in its fullness. It's an already but not yet reality. The first time he came as a suffering servant, the second time he's coming as a conquering king. Jesus, our Emmanuel, has come and is God with us, having conquered our most fierce enemies. But soon he will come again in glory and power and put all his enemies under his feet and end to all the evil in the world. We Christian believers eagerly look forward to a new earth which Christ will soon bring. No more war. There shall be peace on earth. No more mourning or crying or pain. These shall pass away, and God will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and there shall be no more tears. Hallelujah. There shall no longer be any death, and there shall only be eternal life on God's new earth. And there shall be no more night, only a place of endless day and gladness, enjoyment and bliss. There we will live in abundant prosperity, in his presence, forever and ever, world without end. And the resurrection of Jesus is proof positive that he conquered death. His tomb is empty. This gives us sure and certain hope of eternal life beyond the grave. In that world to which our great hope anchors us, we will never again feel the effects of sin or death. This is God's word to us. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 and 4. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. And he shall wipe every tear away from their eyes. And there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." Certainly, God is working these things out in the course of world history, and it is a marvelous thing to behold as the nations rage and time marches on. But soon, Christ will put all his enemies under his feet. As the prophet writes in Psalm 2, verses 6 through 12, He says, "But as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. And I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, 'Thou art my son. Today I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as thine inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt shatter them like earthenware. Now, therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence, and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, lest he become angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all those who take refuge in him.'" This is wonderful news, because we now have a good king to rule us. Remember what the angel said: he is Christ the Lord. In fact, he is the perfect, gracious, and benevolent Lord of history and creation, who will rule us with truth and grace forever. In this age, we receive him into our hearts with willing faith to rule us now. But then he will come in flaming fire with all his angels and take the nations of the world by force, and a Jew will rule the world. Truly, he is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, who will reign forever with justice and peace and goodwill toward all his people. In the endless day to come, under the good rule of Christ, the earth and its people will thrive with prosperity and never again to be troubled by anguish or pain. The angel Gabriel had said this to Mary concerning Jesus, Luke 1:30 and following. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God." Our Christ has come down from heaven to be with us as our King and ruler. And he is the Holy Son of God himself, perfect in love, perfect in grace and wisdom and power. We finally have a good king to bring us life and blessing and to be with us forever. Won't you bow the knee to the great King of kings and Lord of lords today? The blessing awaits all who take refuge in him. He is Christ the Lord. And this is wonderful news, because we Christian believers are experiencing this power of the coming age even now. We have the greatest blessing of all blessings. God has now come to be one with his people, and to not only dwell among us, but to dwell within us. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. This was the promise of the prophet, as the angel told Mary, Matthew chapter 1, verse 22. "Now all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which translated means 'God with us.'" Jesus is our God with us. He is now and forever in union with us, and we with him. We are said to be the bride of Christ, his body, These, of course, are images of our oneness with Him. And this is good news, because we were once alienated from God, but now, for those of us who have faith in Christ, God is with us and has made His dwelling inside our souls. We are even now experiencing the powers of that coming age inside our hearts. This is wonderful news, because in coming to dwell inside of us, He has caused us to be born again. And when this happens, He gives us the gift of faith. And He doesn't just leave us as our old sinful self, but He begins a process of wonderful change whereby we begin to take on His very wonderful virtue and nature. The person of the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside our souls, and we begin by God's power to be molded and shaped by His loving work. As Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he said, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." Christian believer, God is changing you, and He is changing me. Behold, new things have come. As slow as the process is, I am not the same person I was. But by the grace of God, I am becoming like Him. Through His Word and by His Spirit, the gracious God is making us more like Him. And that's good news. If you haven't experienced this life-changing joy and peace and power from God, you have only to truly believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and commit your life to Him in faith, repenting of your sins and turning to Him as Savior and Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Well now, Jesus is all of these blessings for us and so much more. The point of all of this is to tell you that what we celebrate during Christmas time is indeed good news of great joy. Christmas is good news. It is the best news in the whole world, y'all. What we celebrate on this annual remembrance of the Incarnation is not only the good things that Christ has done, but even more, we celebrate Christ Himself, Jesus, who is our God with us. Indeed, He is our greatest treasure. Amen? Amen. The babe in the manger is the Lord of creation and the Savior of the world. Let us haste to bring Him laud and loud praises. Let us rejoice in His goodness to us and sing loud praises to His beautiful name as we reflect this year on Jesus the Christ. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let us receive this good news of great joy and with loving hearts enthrone Him who is our Savior, Christ the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank You for Your indescribable gift. How gracious You are. We praise You. Oh God, give us a new and fresh vision of Jesus, and open our eyes to see the profound importance of devoting our lives to Him. God, help us to enthrone Him in our hearts today, the Savior who is Christ the Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, and rule in our hearts with Your wisdom and truth and grace. Change us and make us like You, Lord. And dear Lord, please come again soon and take us to be where you are and to that place that you have gone away to prepare for us. We eagerly look forward to your coming. These things we ask in the wonderful, most beautiful, and glorious name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.